Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, from the Southern Bancorp studio, here comes another edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us, opening segment of our show every day. Sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, today no different. Great place for a meal, pregame meal tonight. That'd be a good idea. Or to cater the next Southern Miss event. Make sure Dickey's is on your list, and our good thanks to our friends at Southern Bancorp for sponsoring our studio broadcast. And speaking of that, a guy that knows a thing or two about Southern Bancorp, Daniel Stewart, our baseball analyst, is with us. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Bob. How are y'all?
Hey, let me mention later in the show we're going to hear from Blake Anderson. We got a two-part interview with him regarding spring football. But right now, Daniel, let's talk a little baseball. And here's the question I was thinking about this morning that I wanted to ask you before the guys get involved. You know, the bullpen, again, Sunday just looked untouchable. Mm-hmm. So we know that we have that Southern Miss has an established bullpen, probably as good as anybody. But are you surprised, are your comments and thoughts that we're halfway through the season – and still continue to see this uncertainty about weekend starting pitching?
I mean, I wouldn't call it concern just yet. You do like to have that foundation of your staff. You like to have the Friday, Saturday, Sunday guys set. Not really knowing who's going to go. I think Graydon's probably going to be the Friday night guy, although the last couple times out it hasn't been as sharp as he was on Saturdays. I like Sundstrom in that Saturday spot. We've got to get figured out who's going to be that Sunday starter. But kind of like we saw Sunday, you put Colby in, get him 2.2 innings, and then Johnny Holstaff from there on out. We can finish the weekend with the staff that we've got, but it does give you some confidence when you know who's going to be going out mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Have you seen a team this late in the season still shuffling around starters?
Not that I recall. Definitely not with us. We've usually got those guys figured out who's going to be where. But we do have a really deep staff, and as we've shown this past weekend, we can still win with who we've got.
Along those lines, the question I would, if you're concerned about it, I would ask, why is the staff not set? If the staff wasn't set because you don't know who's physically going to be able to go, that's a problem. But right. The fact that you're not sure who's going to go because you want to see the matchups, that you have an overabundance of talent,
right.
I would say, is an encouraging way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely look at it that way, that the talent is there, and because we're so talented, it's hard to figure out who we're going to start. I think Coach Oz wants McCarty English to have that spot. I think he's earned it. Last year, you look, J.B. Middleton was so lights out on Friday night, we could count that a W just about every time out. We don't really have that punch-out guy like Middleton was last year. We can make an argument for Colby, maybe Graydon, to be that guy. But you just look at the whole staff in general, the whole body of work. I think we're more talented this year, but it is just we hadn't got that who's on first, who's on second. It's just we hadn't figured it out quite yet.
No, you're right. You got Graydon Harris on Friday, then Sundstrom moved to the Saturday role, but then you kind of saw the replication of that, of what happens when you bring Sundstrom over on Saturday, because on Saturday's bullpen was not good.
Right.
He left that game with no runs scored, and then they put up six really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, Colby Allen came in and kind of settled that game down for you a little bit with Crabtree, but you at least were up a few runs. But you're right. I mean, there is a lot to like about the bullpen, but even Oz will tell you that they need two, if not three, guys who will step up and start for them. Now, I think it's going to help once these midweeks start you know, go away and not having to worry about this game, such as tonight.
Yeah.
Moving forward, I guess how does that work when you got the midweeks closing down? I think probably end of April. Does that help your rotation at all? Help the way you think he'll, you know, do the weekend?
I mean, yeah, it does. You don't have to, well, you know, your bullpen's going to be just that more fresh on the weekend that you're not pitching in the midweek. You know, if you do have a starter that gets in trouble on the weekend, your bullpen's fresh. And as good as our bullpen's been all year, you know, if our starter only gets three or four and has some trouble, we've got to go Johnny Holstaff from there on out. I think we're okay. So, you know, it's always a concern. Pitchers later in the year getting worn out, getting tired. So cutting out those midweek games is going to make everybody fresh, have our relievers saved up for the weekends.
If there's anybody, and I don't know who this would be, but if anybody considers this season to be even the slightest bit of a disappointment, and again, I don't know who those people would be.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're out there. But to me, it all comes down to two things and has nothing to do with the pitching or the defense. It's been that the Eagles have not been good, two out hitting, and they just have not been able to string the key hits together. And Oz said on the show Monday, he's trying to find right. that magic bullet as to where the guys he can fit in the order that will wake that stuff up. But there just is no magic answer to that.
It's really tough. And I go back to thinking about the first few games of the year. We had, I don't know the exact number, but maybe three of the first four, six games or so, we won in the last inning. You know, there were a couple walk-offs. We scored in the top of the ninth. I mean, we came down to our final at bat before we won those games, and those games could have easily gone the other way. But I was actually thinking about this over the weekend, kind of like to your point, this has not been a disappointing year. We have done really good. We're going to continue to do well. Where are we going to be? What's more important is where we are come the end of conference play. And is our team going to be playing where they need to be come regional time, come conference tournament time? What's our RPI going to be? Because you think about a season, you can play good, play bad, whatever the case may be. If you get into the postseason, you got a brand new season. Starts
right.
over.
Right.
And I think that's the most important thing is, as a fan, focus on, are we going to play good? Are we going to be there towards the end of the year? What's our chances in the postseason?
And you got the Lions coming to town tonight from southeastern Louisiana. But, Dima, I want to ask you, if the Eagles go to ODU this weekend and don't sweep, now what's your outlook?
I say disappointment. I think it's a disappointment they did not sweep this weekend. If they want to call themselves a top 10 baseball team, they've got to beat 500 teams in the Sun Belt. That's just the bottom line. Now, if you want to call yourself a top 25 team and, you know, gets into a regional, maybe hosts, then you're fine with taking these series. But if you truly want to say that you're a top 10 team and can compete against the other top teams in the country, you have to put your foot forward eventually. I mean, there's some times where it's fine to win series, but you got to put your foot forward eventually. And I agree with you that it's not a disappointing season as a whole, but there's players on the team that I think have had disappointing seasons. Matthew Russo being one of them. Only three homers as of now. This is a guy who had 18 last year, and he's only got three through the halfway point. Dre Barrett being another one. He's a guy who had, you know, 9 or 10 last season, I think. A guy coming back who you thought could give you 10 to 15, hopefully, and he only has two. You know, in the midway point, mm-hmm. two home runs. So I agree with you. As a whole, they're 21-7, so it's not like mayday, 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 anything like that. But there's some guys who've got to get going for them if they want to reach the heights where they want to be, and it all is at the plate. The pitching, I'm not worried about the pitching. No. With the starting pitching, they're going to figure that out. That's going to work out itself. It always does. The plate issues have to get fixed. And, yes, I do think anything less than a sweep this weekend against a subpar Old Dominion team is a disappointment. I think it's a disappointment they did not sweep App State.
So the two players that you mentioned, if it doesn't get turned around, and I mean, Russo's kind of an institution, right? I mean, he's kind of iconic. I mean, is that a change that Coach Ostrander would make?
No, I don't think so. Not at all. He's earned that spot. And Russo last year, he started faster than this year, obviously, but he's kind of a late bloomer. So I don't think his, you know, call it a slump, if you will. I don't think that's going to be a permanent. I'd like to see him and hope that he does kind of turn things on here late in the year. But, Damon, to your point, our hitting right now is what we got to figure out. Like Saturday's game, one through four hitters had all your hits. I think Ty Long had one hit. Five through nine only had one hit the whole game. So you can kind of look at something that needs to get some work, and I think that's where we need to focus.
Bob, I understand what he's talking about with Russo, but I kind of got the impression with Coach Ostrander that he just said, look, it's all hands on deck.
Well, no doubt, but one thing to point out what Daniel is saying, the first three or four guys between Gillespie, Urban, Morrison, and Russo have gotten a lot of the production at the plate over the last couple of weeks. So what happens is when those guys go cold, because you just can't expect them to have a 3-for-4 day every single day, when those guys get cold, Southern Miss has been most likely to get beat. That's how it's happened every time. You see the top of the lineup, you know, 1-for-9 or something. Nobody else on the bottom of the lineup is helping them. That's why you need your Stockmans, your Dre Barretts, those players to start coming along. And they've started to find that a little bit with Eubanks coming down there in the 8-hole.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, we sure appreciate your input. Important midweek game tonight. I guess at this point, every game moving forward is important. If you want to host and you want to stay in that conversation as one of the national seeds.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And I think we've done enough this year to put ourselves on the national scene. We should handle Southeastern Louisiana pretty easily tonight. Loss would be pretty tough. But they are gritty, you know, hard-nosed Louisiana guys, so it's not going to be an easy win, but I think they win
pretty
handily.
It's never easy when you play kids from Louisiana, as Reggie Collier told me one time. They're just mean.
They are.
I think it's all that hot food they eat.
It's got to be. All that Louisiana hot sauce.
If I had to live there, I'd be mean too, I think.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
Daniel Stewart, everybody. Our baseball analyst, highly paid, I might add.
Highly paid.
On the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, football next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Don't forget, we've got a two-hour 10th anniversary show coming for you this Friday from 1 to 3. We'll be right here in the studio with just a number of people who have contributed to the Eagle Hour over the past 10 years, and we're looking forward to that. There's going to be a lot of old friends on the show with us Friday, and that we hope that you'll be included in that list as some of our listeners. All right, Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of our program. That's where you find premium Goodyear products, full-service auto and truck service, and former Golden Eagle star Matt Warren. Eagle Tire is family-operated since 1985. Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service. Big Southern Miss supporters. If you're a Southern Miss supporter, I can't imagine that you'd buy tires anywhere else. And our good friends at Forest Healthcare remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, do everything you can to make your health as good as it can be. And then when you need a helping hand, Forest Health will be there. They have expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org, and we're grateful, very grateful to have them part of the Eagle Hour family. All right, let's switch gears. Spring football is underway. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, Dima, I want you to tell me, how big a job does Blake Anderson have in front of him?
Can we do a scale of 1 to 1,000? Is that? Yeah, 10, of course, 10. I mean, that's just – I mean, I don't think we've ever seen anything like it at a Southern Miss level, that's for sure. You know, we talk about losing 95% of your roster. You have to replace every single position group, and that's just kind of the way it was. Charles Hoffel's going to have to do it, you know. I mean, now, of course, he took a lot of his players. If he would have stayed here another year, he would have had a bear cup board, but since it was like the mix of him – having a bear cup board, but also taking some of his players as well, it just ended up being almost a travesty as far as how many players they had to get in here.
All right, Kelly sat down with Coach Anderson Friday night. Here's the first of a two-part interview we're going to bring. Kelly talking to Coach about what's on his priority list now that spring ball is underway.
Coach, can you take us through what your punch list looks like right now based on priority? Maybe the top two or three things that you want to try to get accomplished in what's got to be an extraordinary spring.
Yeah, I think the main thing for us, and I think it's something that our guys have to embrace,
is that we've got to play harder than the opponent. I don't know. We won't know about talent level till we start playing other people. We brought a bunch of guys in that have played snaps, but at this level, there's not a lot to go on. We really don't have a lot of comparison. So take the assumption that we're going to be maybe talent deficit, but we can outwork people. We can play harder longer, be in better shape. So effort for a longer period of time, and execution is kind of where our focus is at. And then if we happen to be more talented at some spots than we expect, or maybe even that we saw on tape, that'd be great. But we need to prepare to win and not let talent be the issue. We need to outwork people, outrun them, outhit them, and outlast them. And so that's really the focus for the spring. Simplicity, but build a culture where our guys know we're going to play hard for 60 plus, and that's how we're going to win games.
How has and you've been around a while, right? This game, so
yeah,
you,
I'm old. That's
yeah.
Good
well, no, no,
that's okay. I don't take it personal. Yes, I am.
I'm with you.
I'm just messing.
You've seen the evolution of spring football. How would you compare it 20 years ago to what it is today?
I mean, spring ball still spring ball. I mean, we don't probably tackle it to the ground as much as we used to. I mean, that used to be a pretty heavy dose of tackling to the ground. We won't get that many opportunities, but we will. Tackle to the ground. We'll tackle to the ground some tomorrow. We'll have a scrimmage next Thursday. But I don't know. We've just got so many new bodies. I mean, I got 60 new scholarship players on a roster. 20 years ago, you'd been looking at guys for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years. That just doesn't exist anymore. We don't have – I mean, we got 138 out of 138 teams in the country in terms of return production. Like, they're all new. And so we're still getting to know these guys and to some degree evaluating what they can and cannot do at this level, you know, this speed of the game and this physicality of the game. That's just a different animal than we faced 10 years ago, much less 20 years ago, which was completely different.
And with that being said, a lot of coaches have gone to the house. They just said, I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't want to be off yet.
Yeah, so how have you had to make that adjustment?
Well, you have to adapt to the situation. And so it's a simpler format for the spring, less scheme, more about culture, more about evaluating, more about making sure that the culture's strong enough to win. And if we've got the right bodies, we can be creative with scheme. But if we're maybe a year away from where we want to be development-wise, or maybe there's a talent deficit at some certain position, I don't want to just throw our hands up and say we can't win. Well, let's win a different way. Special teams, win by effort, win by execution, win by discipline. So all those things are more of a premium than the X's and O's phase of what we're doing. And I think that's the environment that we have to be great at, because everybody's dealing with the same thing. Nobody's dealing with five-year rosters anymore. You're dealing with five-month rosters. Who can maximize that roster at the highest level? Clearly, talent would be awesome to just have more talent, be able to go out and buy more talent. But if not, still find a niche, still find a way to win. And so that's really where our focus is at. And I think it's because the game has changed so much, because the landscape has changed so much, that has to be our way to win here, at least for now.
Always a lot of attention on the quarterback. What have you seen just from the QBs throughout the week?
It's been a solid week. Nobody's really stood out. They all have done good things. I think we got three really solid guys that are in the race. We got one really developmental young freshman that's got talent, just needs to grow, and it'll take him a couple years to do it. But I think if you really look, Ethan's been a good addition. Liddy, the snaps he got last year, I think are really valuable. And John White maybe is much improved as anybody else on the football team in the last year that we've been here. So somebody needs to separate themselves, but right now they are all making pretty good decisions and all have a good grasp of what we're doing. Luckily for two of them, there's not a lot of a changing in the offense. Coach Cephalo didn't change the system, just kind of adding some tweaks to it. But time will tell on who the guy is, and that may be a really hard decision for us.
All right, we'll have the second part of that interview tomorrow. Guys, I'll throw it up to y'all. Coach has got a huge task in front of him.
Yeah, and for the record, that last questioner was Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV, who's been a contributor to this program. Normally, Bob, when you get into spring football, it's foot on the gas, right? Full speed ahead, let's get going. But because Coach Anderson is in the situation he's in, he's had to hardly get on the gas at all. It's been a lot of brake pumping because he doesn't even know what he has, right? So if you don't know what you have, you certainly can't put a game plan together. Barry Switzer ran a wishbone. Well, he had to have big offensive linemen that could do it. Well, until they figure out what they've got, they really can't even develop, you know, schemes that will work. And clearly coaches are going to have to change because, and I think it's just sad. What stood out to me in that first part was when he talked about 5-month rosters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
I don't know if you picked up on this. I'm sure you did. He said, it would be nice if we could go out and buy talent. 10 years ago, a coach would have said, we need to develop talent. We've got to go find some kids and develop talent. And now they just, you know, for obvious reasons, they talk in terms of we need to go buy talent.
They might have said that 10 years ago, but it was in a private locked room.
Yeah.
With a big booster, right? But you're right.
Yeah. Dave, what is the realistic expectation?
I mean, you just hope they're competitive, I think, would be the realistic expectation. You know, there's so much new. You know, Thursday is going to be really fun. I'm really intrigued to see what this team looks like, you know, hitting, tackling, to the ground. There was some talk potentially about all the quarterbacks being live as well. So that would make it certainly interesting. I am, you know, just to kind of shift gears a little bit, I am really interested to see kind of how – far behind, I guess, if you will, that Ethan Hampton from Illinois is, because kind of Blake Anderson kind of touched on it there at the end of that interview. You know, Landry Liddy and John White have been here. They've been in this system. They're one of the few players on the whole field who've been in this system. And, you know, Hampton coming in kind of got to learn a whole new playbook, which is what you hope you install in spring. But, I mean, I wonder if at the end of spring we're kind of like, you know, I know they brought Hampton in here, but kind of Liddy and White might even look equal, if not better, just because they've had a year in the system. I don't know if that's the case. I've only been out to two practices and thought they all looked fine, and I thought Ethan's arm strength was probably the best out of all of them. But, you know, it's just going to be interesting. I mean, but at the end of the day, realistic expectations is you just hope they're competitive in the league.
I was glad to hear him say that John White was one of the most improved players out there, because it's no secret that I'm really pulling for him. He's a local kid and has been here the whole time, has not let other things get to him, and has stayed right here at Southern Miss. So obviously you'd like to see the kid rewarded, and it sounds like he's going to, you know, have a legitimate shot at maybe winning the position. We'll see. But the fact that he's that much improved.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I got an interview with Blake Anderson that was after the practice on Saturday, and he said something that was just so interesting because, you know, I kind of asked him a similar question that you asked him. Like, you know, you're four practices in now, which is when I talked to him. Like, looking at skill positions, like, what do you think? Like, are you excited about what you have, like, receiver-wise, running back-wise? And this is what he said, quote, "We're so inconsistent right now, it's hard to be excited about anything." That goes for really any position this early in the process. So that just shows you that he's an honest guy, number one, but number two, he doesn't know what he has. And that's why Thursday to me is just that and more interesting.
All right. We'll have more from Coach Anderson tomorrow on the show. Still to come this week, too. We've got some great baseball interviews. Thomas Crabtree, Davis Gillespie tomorrow, and a freshman that's making a big splash. I'll withhold his name till we run the interview because he says some pretty funny stuff in the interview. I love interviewing kids right out of high school, Kelly. They're kind of like they're in Disneyland here.
And they don't know any better. Right?
Did he have a Lost in Space shirt?
No, he's a little more mature.
Younger, but more mature.
Check out our Facebook page, by the way, folks. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. DBAT sponsors this segment of our program, and that's where you can take your children for baseball, softball training. Got batting cages. They've got running tracks. They've got a pro shop. Pretty much everything you'd need to help your child be the best they can be in softball or baseball, you'll find it at DBAT with experts down there eager to help your kids be the best they can. MCS Home Center, well, we sure love those guys. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction. Everything you need for your next project, whether it be your home, lawn, or your garden, they've got it at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. That's Hattiesburg New Improvement Center. 7329 Highway 98 West.
We're going back to MCS pretty soon, aren't we, Bob?
Well, we have booked We have booked remotes for the week before the baseball tournament.
Okay.
And the week before opening of football, and that's going to be an annual event. Hank Lott and I worked that out earlier this week.
That sounds good. It's always fun to visit down at MCS.
All right. You know, a couple of 3 weeks ago, right after the season ended, we had a very extensive interview with Coach Ladner,
right.
Jay Ladner. And in one part of that interview, he talked about key players that he just had to have. Name them?
Tylik Weeks,
yeah.
And Isaac Taveras.
And he was concerned they would enter the portal. He said that he thought they wanted to be here. They had told him they would. And then he said something that was disturbing. He said, though, but I don't think we'll be in the ballpark when it comes to money being thrown at them. And Dima, the die has been cast, hadn't it?
Yes, and let me just preface what I'm about to say with, this is not good news. I just want to point that out, that this is not good stats I'm about to read off. So, Tylik Weeks and Isaac Taveras both on the portal after Weeks entered the portal yesterday. So, with the graduates, with the seniors leaving the team, that would include Dalen Brandon, Isaac Taveras, Dylan Brumfield, Jahi Benet, Tegra Izaid, Tylik Weeks, Kurt Lewis, and Izzy Hart. Those players were seven of the top eight scorers from last year. So, if you put all that together, the team averaged about 74.7 points. These players that Ladner is losing, 70.6 of those 74.7 points, which means 99.2% of your production he has lost.
So, if we get next season, if we give up 4 points, we're in trouble.
That's, well, they averaged 4.7. So,
oh, okay, five.
So 5 points. A couple of free throws, because we know that's going to happen in the Sun Belt.
Is it safe to say that they're not going to be able to save either one of those kids?
Oh, yeah, they're already in the portal. Yeah.
I'm saying, though, in other words, they wouldn't be able to counteroffer what they may be offered portal. That's my question.
No way.
And I'm sure third player's in the portal, right?
Yeah, and that was Jet Montgomery, who that was announced a little bit before the other two, and he didn't play this season because of an injury. If I count out the players correctly, so far, there's still a lot to go. 11 of the 18 players are gone.
But we have a commitment.
Yes.
From a player from St. Leo's University in St. Leo's, Florida.
That's right.
It's a Division II school.
If Kelly wouldn't have put me on the spot, I could have had. Okay, so Camden, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Cerise. He's committed to Southern Miss, announced yesterday, 6'4 sophomore. He played only in 10 games in Division II, St. Leo's. He averaged 15 points a game while shooting 41% from deep. So, I mean, that was a big problem last season to get, your perimeter shooting last year. So, if this guy could come in and, give you some production from beyond the arc, it would be great. Yeah. But obviously you're going to need to go find two or three more scorers. Now, to Jay's credit, he has been able to do it.
Yeah, he's done it a couple times.
Last season, nobody knew who Tylik Weeks was or Jahi Benet, and those guys ended up being great, so can he do it again is the question. He has the ability to do it. When Felipe Hase came here, nobody knew who he was, and that was the best season they've ever had. Mm-hmm. So I will say that Jay Ladner has shown the ability to do it, but it's just like, once again, he's got to do it again. Yeah.
And, this is the norm now. This is not just Southern Miss. This is the vast majority of schools, and these kids, like the two that we're talking about, they've become the norm. Three schools, 3 years. Just the norm.
Yeah, you hear broadcasters all the time. They take 5 minutes just to talk about all the schools.
I think on NBC, when they used to do the things for NFL, when it's like, Diva Mixon from Southern Miss or whatever it is, for NFL games, they've just stopped saying the school they're from.
Yeah,
well, they don't have time.
Yeah, that's right. They just say where they're like their hometown.
Or their high school.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, they don't have time to get them all out.
Five colleges they played for.
Well, Jahi Benet, I'm waiting for his little brother to come up because he's supposed to be pretty good. His name is Mobe Benet.
Oh,
and he is I understand, a highly heralded
youngster.
In case
you're wondering why he says things like that, check out our Facebook page, and you'll see what he's wearing today.
Hey, in other basketball news, former Southern Miss assistant coach Adam Howard was named the new head basketball coach at Troy. Of course, a lot of former athletic directors at Southern Miss have found new homes at Troy, so there's already, I'm sure, relationships there with Adam Howard and the administration at Troy. But Adam Howard was here during the Donnie Tindall years, and there was some tumult there with the unheralded departure of Coach. Help me out. I just said it's Donnie Tindall, but Adam Howard now will he knows the Sun Belt, but he comes directly from North Carolina State and other schools, you know, as an assistant coach, but now the main man at Troy. So he will now be in the Sun Belt again.
Let's go back to the Southern Miss basketball program for just a minute. What would be the time frame, Dima, in finding out who the new players on the team are going to be?
Oh, I'd say in the next several weeks. You know, this is when the transfer portal's opened in the month of April, so you should get some names like we already seen a name, come through for a commitment. So, I'd expect definitely by the end of May, you'll have a pretty good idea.
You know, as Jeff Bauer pointed out to me in a podcast interview I did with him last week, he said the saddest thing about college sports is the one word you never hear anymore is education. And he asked the question, he said, how do you think kids are going to get degrees if they're at four different schools in 4 years? And this is a man that graduated 90 plus percent of the football players that played for Jeff Bauer left here with a degree in their hand.
And unfortunately, here's the answer. They don't care about degrees anymore because they're going to make enough money playing sports.
College sports.
Yes, that it's not necessary that they get a degree.
College sports, not professional sports.
Understood. But I'm just saying that's where we are today, is that if they can make $4 or $5 million playing college sports, then why do they need a degree? Yeah. It has diminished the value of a degree.
Yeah.
And it's
I'd have probably skipped that last year at Holmes Junior College for $5 million.
I'm sure Holmes would have written the first check, Bob, to get you out of there.
They did offer.
If they would have known that.
But it was like $5.
But I will say this about Jay Landgren, too. The guys that he signs, don't be expecting transfers from, St. John's and Iowa State and places like that. These are going to be the St. Leo's, we mentioned, the first commit. It's a Division II school. He knows all those rocks now to go looking under.
But now Weeks is an example of a kid that you can get from a very small school.
That's right.
Play D1 basketball.
And that was my point, was that Ladner has shown his ability to go find these guys. Now, we've seen where it doesn't work, though. You know, two seasons ago it didn't work when he tried to go get those guys and just didn't work. And then last year it did towards the end. They had a pretty good team last year.
Yeah.
So we just, you just hope it happens again. Obviously, this is now a really big season for Ladner. It's his last season of his contract and a lot to talk about, lot to discuss when that comes around. But at least we have about a three-month break for basketball season, don't we?
Well, not quite three.
Yeah, two and a half.
We haven't crowned a national champion yet.
That's right. They're still playing.
Yeah.
They are.
Yes.
They're still playing.
They're still playing.
I will say this. In the morning that I spent with Jay right at the end of the season, you could read the writing on the wall. I mean, he knew those guys were going to be gone. And he knew. He said right. He didn't come out and say it because he was trying to be optimistic.
Sure.
But he knew he was going to have to rebuild from the basement floor. But Dima makes a great point. The positive is that Jay's shown he knows how to do that.
And here's the reality if you're a Southern Miss fan. Even though these guys, Tavares and Weeks, wherever they wind up going, and whatever they sign for, you might think, well, gosh, that's not very much. But it's still a lot more than they could get staying here.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality.
And I think the sad part for USM fans is, though, the fact that they were so good, if you could have kept them and then gone out and gotten a couple other guys,
they would have been really good.
I know. They would have been probably one of the best teams in the league, especially with Troy losing their head coach and probably a rebuilding year for them.
Well, you figure Troy's coach is the change in the Troy coaches is going to be a big change in the roster, right?
Right. Yeah.
But you have to look at a cost-benefit analysis, right, if you're running a business like the athletic department like Jeremy McClain is. All right, so let's just hypothetically say you keep those two guys and go out and get another couple guys. Fact of the matter is, if you don't win the Sun Belt tournament, it doesn't matter. That was money that was thrown out the window because you have to win the Sun Belt basketball tournament in order to get a berth into the NCAA tournament, which is where all the money is.
And not to throw stones, because everybody's doing it, and if you've got it, you should do it. You can look at schools that have the resources, like a Mississippi State, and how they've invested, I'm told, north of $3 million in their baseball team this year. Now, I don't have if that's accurate or not, but what I was told from a pretty reliable source, I think. And that's what schools are doing. And you either have the money to do it or you don't. And if you're the have-nots, you start over every year. Am I right?
Well, I've never opened the books at Southern Miss, but I would just guess that we're one of the have-nots.
I don't think $3 million payroll on the baseball team.
Yeah, right? Maybe the whole athletic department. Yeah.
Dima's the only one I know commands money like that. No,
it's
Pine Belt Sports.
It's that last name.
We'll be right back.
big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, you've got some gold laying around the house, some silver, some coins, some old silver or gold jewelry. And maybe you need some cash, Kelly. You don't, but anybody that buys T-shirts like that clearly has plenty of money to waste.
Actually, you don't have any money. That's why you have to wear these shirts.
Take it to Jewel Masters. Marty Vick is an expert at that. He's been doing it longer than anyone in the Pine Belt, and Marty's as honest as there is the day long. You'll get the very top dollar that your gold or silver will bring. You'll get it confidentially, and Marty will walk you out the front door thanking you and putting cold cash in your hands. Jewel Masters, and of course, if you want to get married, engaged, they got it all. Jewel Masters, but they specialize in gold and silver purchasing. They're on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, and we just love having them part of our program.
Is he going to design the Trump statue for the new Trump library that's going to be built?
He'd be the man
Miami?
To do it. He's designed a lot of jewelry from my family, and no one's ever been. The ladies in my family get real excited when they see a Jewel Masters box. Let me just put it that way.
Our president really likes gold.
Yeah, and I believe that's where our young man here may have. Did you tell me that's where you bought your wedding rings?
Engagement ring, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jewel Masters. So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, they're great. I got to mold it and everything.
No question. They can do anything you want done at Jewel Masters. Hey, MoBay Beignet Company can get you happy. That's with a bunch of beignets and some good coffee, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. And also want to thank our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Kevin Mullins, just a great friend. And as is Mr. Grubbs, their sedans and SUVs are beautiful. And they're in the new Highway 98 West showroom, the only Genesis showroom in the state of Mississippi. Hey, the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is rolling right along. You can catch it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. And let me plug my podcast, Legends. This week on Thursday, we'll be releasing the story of Marshant Kenny. Now, everybody that knows Marshant Kenny thinks of this, you know, big personality guy. But, Kelly, I think you know this story. Dima may know it. He lived a tragic young life. And Marshant lived a life you just wouldn't want to see any child have to go through. He was saved virtually by a nun who he didn't know from Adam till he met her. He has a remarkable story of
perseverance,
determination, coupled with a lot of sadness in his life.
He's overcome it, though, hasn't he?
He's overcome every bit of it. It is really a cool story, and you can hear it in Marshant's own words starting this Thursday.
And it makes perfect sense that football was his choice, because I mean,
thank goodness
that a sport will toughen you up like football.
Thank goodness Marshant found football in his life. Yes.
Couple of other notes, Bob. Just a salute today to Burkett Ross, the longtime Forest County supervisor, who of course for a long time ran the Southern Bowling Lanes and Pedal. Burkett passed away yesterday. I know a lot of people knew Burkett, just very personable, would always do anything he could to help you in any way, shape, or form, and a Southern Miss fan. And we hope that Burkett rests in peace. And the National Football League owners have passed a rule today, Bob, that if there is a blatant mistaken call on the field, that the other members of the officiating crew can pull that member aside and say, you didn't see it right. You got it wrong. So this is only on a 1-year experimentation basis that they have passed that. And get ready for replacement referees.
So what you're saying is anytime Patrick Mahomes is tackled and there's not a roughing the passer penalty, they can overrule that.
They said, oh, he definitely was roughed. Somebody looked at him cross-eyed.
Someone tackled him.
Yes, or looked at him cross-eyed.
You can't tackle blew Patrick on him. Mahomes.
Yeah, breathed on him.
Yeah.
But get ready for Division II. We were talking about a Division II basketball player committing to Southern Miss. Get ready for Division II and Division III football referees in the National Football League this fall, because the referees are striking, and the NFL has already acknowledged that this is going to happen. So get ready for a wild NFL season as far as that goes. Of course, and we've already talked about Major League Baseball going out, being locked out for the 2027 season. So the business side of pro sports.
You know, the referees, they're not millionaires. And I don't know what their bone of contention is, but I got to tell you, you better have a good public relations firm to make the American people say, oh, yeah, it's okay to make $10 million a year playing baseball, but you're unhappy, and so you're going to strike.
That's a hard sell. I agree with you, but that's what they're gearing up for, and they know that, Bob.
Yeah.
The players know that.
Yeah.
So this is going to get really ugly but interesting at the same time.
All right, about 40 seconds left. Let's hear it about tonight, Dima Mixon.
Yeah, pitching matchup for Southern Miss left-hander Cross Sibley on the mound for USM, and then for
Southeastern
Louisiana, Luke Lyrate is his name. He's 1-1 with 4.38 ERA for the Lions tonight.
Let me guess. Left-handed.
Right-handed.
Oh,
right-handed.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Right-handed
okay.
pitcher.
Southeastern has always played USM tough. Guys, I got to tell you, I think the Eagles win, but I think it could be competitive.
Yeah, we saw this game earlier this season, 3-1 down there in Hammond, so never an easy game. You know, I'm just looking for continuous consistency at the plate. I'm also wanting to see if they, you know, try some new players in the infield tonight. I haven't heard anything specifically, but I know they still got some players maybe back there that they can maybe move around a little bit. Braden Maranto being one of them.
All right, on the show tomorrow, more from football coach Blake Anderson. We're also going to hear from Davis Gillespie, and I'm going to go ahead and say Gray Eubanks did a great interview. I can't wait for you to hear about his experiences at high school and coming to Division I baseball. Thank you for listening, everybody. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.